Have you taken a step back and done a little soul searching on things that you may have said that could incite people who are not balanced?
Well, I don't think, look, how do you talk about the threat to democracy, which is real, when a president says things like he says? Do you just not say anything because it may incite somebody? Look, I've not engaged in that rhetoric. Now, my opponent is engaged in that rhetoric. He talks about to be a bloodbath if he loses, talking about how he's going to forgive all the, suspend the sentences of all those who were arrested and sentenced to go to jail because of what happened in the Capitol.
Can he get a clear sentence out of his head? Jiminy Christmas. I mean, I have trauma just from listening to him. I've got trauma, Kane. I've got trauma right now. We all have trauma because we have to listen to him. He had an opportunity there to, I think, really, I don't know, maybe address the fact that it was an attempted assassination. Maybe address the fact that, you know, the rhetoric is a little hot, which it kind of has always been. Where it concerns the left, the rhetoric has been just, you know, a little bit spicy. And he didn't take the opportunity to do, I mean, that was a garbage interview from him. And he was talking, that was NBC's Lester Holt. That was Lester Holt there. Verbal typo, and it's maybe on purpose, and it sticks. And he didn't, they haven't walked away from this. I want to play this for you too. This is audio soundbite 21. This is KJP on this very question too. Listen.
The view is that Trump and the MAGA Republican agenda is a threat to democracy. So how do you get that message across while bringing the temperature down? How is that phrasing going to be replaced? Is it going to be replaced?
Well, look, what I can say is this. We have our differences, and it's okay to have our differences. And it is okay to speak to someone's record, to speak to someone's character. That is the difference of, that is important to be able to do, to show, right, what the American people, what you're all about.
So they're not going to change anything.
We're just going to continue to denounce violence. It is important to do that, forcefully be against violence. Political violence has no place in America. It should not be. It does not have a place here. The president's going to continue to be very, very forceful about that. But we have a difference of agenda. That is the truth.
Okay, so what does that even mean? A difference of agenda. So they're still not even. I mean, he did this interview. KJP didn't. I mean, she hasn't really. That doesn't inspire a lot of unity, because they've gone and they're insisting on unity. They want unity. And he can't even, I mean, in that soundbite that we opened the program with, Biden is attacking Trump backers. He's attacking Republican voters. And he had said, so I was looking at the transcript. He had said, I've never seen circumstances where you ride through certain rural areas of the country and people have signs that say F Biden. That's just the kind of stuff that's inflammatory. There's a difference between saying F Biden and a difference in calling a guy an existential threat, a threat to democracy, calling him Hitler. I could go on and on and on. So don't act like they're remotely even similar. I mean, people are telling you to go do something unflattering to yourself. And I got to tell you, I'm really tired of the left trying to what about it? And both sides this. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you at the top of this very first hour on Tuesday. And the idea, you know, where he makes up these. You know, he goes, he's like, I can't go to rural areas without little kids giving me the finger. He actually said that, and I have that on my notes, like a little kid standing there putting up his middle finger. Are you kidding me? That's so lame. That is so lame. We're talking about, you're making up scenarios about randos. We're talking about you, the president of the United States, calling people with whom you disagree an ideological threat. Or an existential threat, or referring to them as fascist, or saying that they're going to undo democracy or something, and that put them in the bullseye, all of this stuff. That's the language that you people use. And you know, when you tell them, when you're telling people over and over again, throughout the span of several years that someone is going to end democracy as you know it, and they're going to take away your health care and kill your family and everything else, you know, maybe, just maybe, somebody out there might take you seriously. So again, welcome to the program. You can listen across the country. You can also watch us on Channel 347. That's right. Yeah, DirecTV, X, Rumble, all that good stuff. The interview was a giant, well, don't look at me. That's what it was. It was a giant, well, it's not my problem. That's what that whole interview was. The unifier in chief, right? Saying that he admits that there was maybe a mistake on saying bullseye. But what gets me, he was saying, well, you know, crosshairs, not bullseye. He was asked about that. He said that that's audio soundbite. He was talking about that in the interview. He was saying audio soundbite 11. He was because the day, but wasn't it the day before we got to put Trump in a bullseye? Yeah. And then he's like, no, I didn't say bullseye. I meant crosshairs. Listen to this audio soundbite 11.
You called your opponent an existential threat on a call a week ago. You said it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. There's some dispute about the context, but I think you appreciate that.
I didn't say crosshairs. I was talking about focus on. Look, the truth of the matter was, what I guess I was talking about at the time was, there's very little focus on Trump's agenda.
Yeah, the term is bullseye.
It was a mistake to use the word. I didn't say crosshairs. I meant bullseye. I meant focus on him. Focus on what he's doing.
How is that any different? You absolute mental abortion. How is that any different? How is it any different? Crosshairs, bullseye, you know, that's just, it's a rhetorical dodge. We're going to come back to this. Also announced yesterday, literally right as we got off air, J.D. Vance is the vice president pick for Trump. And he made an appearance at the RNC yesterday, which we're going to talk about. We're going to have a big old fun conversation about slut walks and post-Christian world and all kinds of fun stuff, because I am a very practical Machiavellian type person. I don't know if you guys know this of me. Maybe if you're just tuning in, you're unaware of this. I am a very practical person who likes to win. And you guys thought I was joking when I said I would steamroll over your grandmothers to win. I mean that. I'm not even joking. If they said, Dana, you're going to lose unless you get in this steamroller and you roll over this person's Nana. Sorry, Nana. You gots to go. Dana, how mean are you? The means justify the end. Well, yes, in this case, they do. So we're going to talk about all of that. But J.D. Vance was announced as the pick. Not my first pick. He was my pick over Doug Burgum. He was my pick over Marco Rubio. He was my pick over Nikki Haley and I think Tim Scott. My dream pick was like a Brian Kemp. But Trump and Kemp hate each other to the detriment of the nation. We as a nation miss out because they hate each other to bits. And there were two ways that Trump could go with this pick. You could go with the way of getting in the non-MAGA voters, that people who are. So we're going to explain all of this coming up, because you have conservatives and you have Republicans, you have parties and coalitions, and they are not the same thing. None of them are the same thing. And then even within the Republicans, you have Republicans and then you have like MAGA Republicans. And so all very different. And we're going to talk about all of that coming up, because I feel like people need to understand the lay of the land going forward. So he had two ways that he could go. Trump could either go, I'm going to go the route of maybe bringing in the non-MAGA Republicans and solidifying that, or he could go the route of, I'm going to just solidify the MAGA agenda going forward. And so he chose that latter position. Now, I will say, and I've already seen Democrats doing this, and we have audio to this effect that we're going to play, but because J.D. Vance, let's be honest, guys, right? Don't sit here and shoot the messenger, okay? We're going to be honest about stuff. J.D. Vance has said some stuff about Trump previously. I mean, he kind of Bush Hitlered him. And by kind of, I mean, he did. I mean, he said he was like, he said, the reason I wrote about this and brought this up, because I told you, did I not tell you, Democrats are going to bring that up as a way to try to drive a wedge, should he pick him as a VP or try to get closer to him as like for a cabinet position or something. And guess what? Your girl was right, because Joe Biden immediately comes out and he's trying to bring it up. And he's like, oh, my gosh, did you hear what J.D. Vance has said about him? I mean, did you hear about this? I don't know if he addresses this in audio soundbite 14. Is that what he does? He address that in that? Is that the soundbite that he hits it? Because he was trying to bring it up in his goofy, clumsy, you know, sundowning, visiting angels kind of way. But he was saying, well, he called him Hitler. His argument was, well, even J.D. Vance thought he was Hitler. I mean, he actually was like going to go there as a way to kind of justify it. Do we have that? Well, I mean, we don't need to get it, but that's what he was saying in that interview last night. I'm like, what? You knew this was going to come up. And I told you this so you guys could be prepared for it. And so I think Vance himself is, you know, is handling that because he was asked about this before. And I think we do have this audio. He was asked about this before, about the whole idea of, well, what did you say? What did you say previously when you were asked about this? This is audio. What? It's like we have 5,000 cuts of audio. Two. Oh, it's two. Of course it is. So this was a flashback. He was trying to explain his past comments on Trump. And again, I'm bringing this up because Democrats are already preparing ads on it. Biden's already hit it. Listen.
Invoked his name already tonight. We're going to ask each of you about your views on former President Trump. But Mr. Vance, we do begin with you. You've admitted you've changed your mind on Donald Trump, but in the past you've said, quote, I'm a never Trump guy, quote, my God, what an idiot, and quote, God wants better of us, all statements you have either said or tweeted about Donald Trump at some point. The question, you have 60 seconds, why should Trump voters, Trump supporters, vote for you?
Yeah, look, I mean, all of us say stupid things, and I happen to say stupid things very publicly. You know, I've been very public about the fact that I voted for the president in 2020, that I was wrong about the president back in 2015, 2016, and that he's been the greatest president of my lifetime for the very simple reason, there are many, but one very important reason is that he revealed the corruption in Washington, D.C. I mean, who would have believed 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that the FBI would actually investigate illegally, get an illegal wiretap on a sitting U.S. presidential candidate? We saw that. Trump revealed it, and he revealed it in a way that showed us the stakes of the fight, which is why I'm running for this office in the first place. You know, one thing I'd point out is that, you know, I was just north of 30 years old when I said a lot of those things. A lot's changed in my life. I reengaged with my faith. I got baptized 3 years ago. I've had three kids since then. You know, a lot's different. And one of the things that's different is that I did change my mind about Donald Trump. He was a great president. And I think at the end of the day, one of the things this race presents is an opportunity. Who actually agrees with Trump on the core issues of trade, of immigration? Who's willing to fight for an America first?
I will say this, too. This is why J.D. Vance is better than Elise Stefanik. Because Elise Stefanik, you remember she was asked about this. She gave a radio interview where she had, like years prior, where she was criticizing Trump pretty much in the same vein. And when Shayna Bream asked her about it, it wasn't like the New York Times made it up. They were literally citing, and it's still on the internet, an actual radio interview that Stefanik had given. And Stefanik lost her mind at Bream, acting like Bream made it up. It was a real thing. That made me not like Elise Stefanik in any kind of role higher than what she's in. That was a good answer from Vance. Love him or hate him, that was a good answer from him. He addressed it head on. He didn't dodge it. He didn't make apologies for it. And he dealt with it. That was, and he's like, look, things change. I mean, that's a legitimate answer. I like it when people address stuff and they don't try to BS you about where they were. Just be honest about it. Cover up is sometimes worse than the offense. And so that was a good answer for him. So I really don't think that that line of attack from Democrats on Vance, that trying to drive that wedge, I just don't think that's going to work in light of the way that he's answered it. Do you? I just really don't think that's going to work. So we're going to talk more about this pick, what it means. Also, all the people that are reacting to it, what that means. We're going to touch on the RNC. We've got more developments about the Secret Service. You guys are going to be picking your jaw up the floor repeatedly today when you find out some of this stuff. According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat, I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently Elon Musk is pledging $45 million to try to counteract Zuckerbucks. A $45 million monthly donation, apparently, to the for early balloting and harvesting. Well, that's what he says. He's like, the Republicans, it's going to be, he's like, it's a direct, it basically, it's like, it's been described as a direct offset to Zuckerbucks. And it's apparently it's a group that's pledging that he's part of that's pledging that month that much expressly earmarked for mail-in balloting, which is, yeah, that's actually pretty, that's pretty huge. Scientists have confirmed a cave on the moon that could be used to shelter future explorers. I think that everyone who disagrees with me needs to go there first. That's how this all works, right? That's from the Associated Press. Actually, it's probably where all the aliens up there are hiding because they don't want us to find them. Because have you seen us? Yeah. Apparently, and we're going to talk about this coming up, Tenacious D's tour has been suspended by Jack Black after they both decided to act like moonbats and freak out over and say ignorant stuff about the Trump attempted assassination. So we're going to talk about all that coming up as well. Additionally, speaking of aliens, Elon Musk insists that he is one and tells, I don't, why is this a headline? That's stupid. No, that doesn't even make any sense. Jack Smith is going to appeal his firing. Of course he is. RFK Jr. is going to get Secret Service protection as well. Finally, that's something that he's been asking about. I mean, consider the history. Kennedy wanting some, I mean, I'm not a fan of the guy at all.
He was denied for months and months and months.
It's weird. It's kind of weird, isn't it? But at this, but I don't know. At this, there's a little part of me that goes, really though? I don't know. But he's, you know, if you're running and you meet the threshold, then I don't see why it wouldn't be. I don't see why it would be included, or it wouldn't be included rather. And in addition to that, you have Lauren Boebert that just introduced legislation to defund the director of Secret Service's salary. We're going to talk about all of that and more, including the Secret Service failings, the RNC platform. Stay with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never seen a circumstance where you ride through certain rural areas of the country and people have signs there, stand big Trump signs with middle signs saying F Biden, and the little kid standing there putting up his middle
Didn't
finger.
Happen.
I mean, that's the kind of
Didn't
stuff
happen.
That... It's just
little kids. What a jerk. You know, it's just like getting shot. Jeez. That was Joe Biden trying to like dodge any kind of culpability or accountability in the rhetoric temperature. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour of the program. That interview? Nope. But I will say Democrats got real lucky because no one's talking about Biden being too desiccated to continue on as the Democrat nominee. He got lucky, did he not? Lucky, because nobody's talking about it anymore. I mean, we are, but Democrats aren't talking about it because that all ended. They're just trying to save their butts as it relates to the whole the House and Senate and everything else. That's what they're trying to do. They're just trying to save their backsides. I don't know if it's going to work. I wanted to shift gears and talk for a moment about some of the latest developments with these, because there's a lot here, and you'll forgive me for a moment because I'm getting it all up so it doesn't crash my browser, because there's a lot of stuff. So there was an interview that was done, and this was on Good Morning America, where the Secret Service director, she referred to the attempted assassination on Trump as unacceptable, And she said it was a security. I mean, she told ABC that a security breach led to the assassination attempt. I guess this has to do with the fact that the dude climbed on top of the rooftop where it was the staging area for local tactical for crowd control and all of that stuff, that it was the staging area. I mean, it's unbelievable. Listen to this, because this is some of the, this is just a bit of her interview where 23, where she also says she's not going to resign over this. Listen.
Who is most responsible for this happening?
What I would say is that the Secret Service is responsible for the protection of the former president.
So the buck stops with you?
The buck stops with me. I am the director of the Secret Service. It was unacceptable, and it's something that shouldn't happen again.
The president and Homeland Security Secretary said today they had 100% confidence in you, but there are some members of Congress calling on you to resign.
I appreciate the secretary's comments, and we're going to continue to be transparent and communicate with people.
Do you plan to stay on? Absolutely.
I do plan to stay on.
Yeah. She had a really bizarre reason, too. She was saying that there was explaining why there wasn't an agent on the roof where that the killer opened fire. And when she was talking about the Secret Service, like the multi-tiered approach they had, Kimberly Cheadle, described as embattled. And this warehouse, again, was 147 yards away from where Trump was positioned. And so the story came out last night, and this was brought up in this ABC interview, where the killer managed to evade cops and Secret Service three separate times. He had already been 30 minutes prior. He apparently was deemed a suspicious figure. And apparently, an agent even took a photo of him before he opened fire. Like, someone was able to take a photo of him before he opened fire and started killing people. And all of this, there are a million questions. She said the decision was made to secure the building from the inside, is what she said. What? She said, well, he was actually identified as a potential person of suspicion. Unfortunately, with the rapid succession of how things unfolded, she said in this interview broadcast by ABC, that by the time the individual was eventually located, they were on the rooftop and were able to fire off at the former president. That's what she said in this interview. And she said that they were aware of the Secret Service was aware of the vulnerabilities, and the decision was made to not place personnel on the roof. And that's when she said all of that before she said, the buck stops with me. Wow. That is unbelievable. If you haven't watched that interview that ABC ran this morning for Good Morning, was it Good Morning America, I think? Wow. How in the world? So you secured it from the inside, and that was pretty much it. That was it. You secure it from the inside. All of this 30 minutes before, suspicious person, minutes before, people were saying, there's somebody over here, do something, do something. And yet nothing was done. And apparently, they were, you know, the snipers that were, or the crew that was inside the building, they spotted him scoping out the building, but no one stopped him. And that's according to CBS. They said that motive's still unclear. Really? You think so? They said that there, all these details still coming out. They also discovered rudimentary bomb-making materials found at his house and his vehicle. And he apparently was able to kind of run around and do whatever he wanted to. I understand that there is this inclination to think that, And to think that there's conspiratorial things at play here. I really do, believe me. I understand all of that. And I wouldn't blame you. Because we've all just lived through, what, how many years? Almost 10 years now of government agencies being weaponized to either thwart or go after innocent people. Or undermine free and fair elections, like in 2016. I get all of that. But that said, there is something I think you need to consider about this. Think of how incompetent our government agencies are right now. Think of how incompetent they are. Think of how incompetent the Department of Transportation is. United States Postal Service. Name a government organization and think about the level of incompetency. I tend to think it's less of a conspiratorial thing and more of a systemic epidemic of dumbassedry that has infected every level of government because it's too big. Number one, I just simply don't believe that there are enough smart people to staff the government to that effect. It's too big and it's filled with morons. That's what I tend to think. And this is kind of the result of that. You have people who are, and Tim Kennedy brought this up yesterday. I also think you have people who are so incompetent. And when you see that level of incompetency in play and you don't do anything, then that to me, whether it's intentional or not, results or is viewed as a level of maliciousness. And I do understand that. And I tend to think that this is kind of part of it. I really do think that that is part of it. Now, I want to say one quick thing, too, about the female agents, because I saw this and we got to still continue to talk about this with Secret Service, because last night when Trump walked into the RNC, he didn't have a single female with him. And these were all super huge dudes as big as he was. I don't know if you saw that or not. I saw a remark that was that someone had retweeted. It flew past my feed on X, where they were saying, well, this is the one woman who was on stage with him. She needs to get more praise. This is the woman that did the job. And everyone's focusing on the women that didn't. Full stop. No, I'm not going to praise you for doing the job that's expected of you, regardless of if you're a man or a woman. You don't get extra praise because you're a woman and you did your job correctly. The reason that people are pointing out the other two women that were completely foobarred with this response is because they completely foobarred the response and they messed up. And the reason that it's pointed out is because no one wants to see that happen again. I'm not going to give people stop and give people praise for doing their jobs, because that's equality. If you want equality, that's equality. I'm not going to throw a party or have a special celebration for the single woman that was on stage that actually was capable of doing her job. But I am sure as hell going to talk mounds about the woman who couldn't even holster her firearm properly and the other chick who stopped in the middle of an evac and put her damn sunglasses on. You best believe I'm going to talk about that. And everyone should be talking about that because our tax dollars pay for that and it wasn't done properly. And it could have resulted in the death of a former president and current nominee for Republican Party president. So, yes, that has nothing to do with sex. And I need some of these red pill chicks on the right to shut up about it. I'm tired of hearing it. Either do the job or don't. Either be capable of doing the job or don't do it. I'm not going to sit here and give you extra consideration because you're abroad. That's what equality is. I'm so tired of this stuff. Oh. So the Secret Service failings. I mean, they keep piling up. Keep piling up. There were insiders. Have you noticed, too, there's sources with local law enforcement and then sources of Secret Service that are having an information battle right now? A leak off? Have you seen this? Like some of the stuff coming out? Oh, well, this source says this and this source says that, because law enforcement, I think, is not wanting to be thrown under the bus. Do you get that impression? Because I definitely get that impression. Now some of the other some former agents are talking out about the hiring practices of the Secret Service. They have one ex-FBI special agent that came out and said that, yes, they really, really screwed up. And they said that, you know, the chaotic scenes for this, you know, a lot of what this is, you know, the hiring practices have gotten highly politicized. You know, and he said that it was possible to have a tough female out there doing their job. But, you know, during this particular event, there were questionable actions on the part of some agents, including female agents that raised people's eyebrows. And that's true. I have not heard anything different from anybody that I've talked to, be it people who are veterans or people who work in firearms training, when they are looking at the same videos that I'm looking at and you're looking at. So I was happy to see like beefed up security with Trump yesterday. But we absolutely have to have questions about, you know, all of this. You know, I keep going back to this. I wanted to play this really quickly. I wanted to play some of this audio because I go back to the situation with Reagan. You know, the attempted assassination on Reagan outside of the Hilton there in Washington, D.C. I've stayed at that hotel before. And it's pretty amazing when you consider the difference between then and now. The error that Secret Service made then was they allowed a group of unvetted people to get too close to the rope partition. And they made a lot of changes to their evaluations after that. But they were like, when all of this happened and people were hitting the deck, Secret Service was like very, very chill with this. This is some now of the publicly available audio of Secret Service at the time. You had Parr, Shattuck, all of these agents that became very well known in the wake of this, that addressed the situation, reacted, kept everything calm and cool. Now think about this. And Rawhide was Reagan's name. Reagan was just shot. They still don't know the entire nature of his injuries. Listen to how cool and collected and just zero focus on the objective they are. Listen to this.
Advised one attack. Shot fired. Are some injuries? Lay one on.
This is Secret Service audio at the time.
Rawhide is okay. Follow up. Rawhide is okay.
Now they thought he was okay at first.
You want to go to hospital or back to the White House? We're going to Crown. Okay. Back to the White House. Rawhide is okay.
And they thought he was all right. And then it changes pretty quickly in this audio.
Pass that Crown.
Secret Service audio.
Half-stop, Crown.
Crown halfback.
Half-stop, Crown. We have Roddy requesting a status report on Rawhide.
Don't stay up here for now.
Rawhide was Reagan's.
Rawhide's all right.
Secret Service
Gordon
on route.
And they thought he was okay. But then they realized.
Gordon on route.
He wouldn't. The Secret Service audio from Reagan's shot at.
Roger,
we want to go to the emergency room of George Washington.
And there is the change.
That's a Roger.
And they were just cool, calm, and collective. I mean, the Secret Service used to be Robert Wanko. You remember that one iconic photo? It used to be Robert Wanko in a three-piece Anchorman suit with his disco Uzi, shouting orders, looking all impeccable. And now you got Paula Blart out there who can't holster their sidearms because their bad wake hold bras don't minimize side boob. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. Dana, that's harsh. Damn well right it's harsh. It ought to be because we're talking about the life of a former and potential president of the United States. That's Robert Wanko. He had an Uzi in a briefcase and he popped that Uzi out. That was just to give cover, by the way, so that they could evac Reagan out of there. And I love the guy behind him too, because there's another photo of them both looking real serious. But yeah, three-piece suit looking all disco impeccable. It does look like an Anchorman scene. I do want to point that out. But I mean the difference though. And they had everything under control. Can I just say sidebar real quick? Who's the dude? I from what I understand, the guy in the fuzzy jacket, kind of like off center in the middle of that photograph, is apparently an audio tech with a TV network. Audio techs see everything. Yeah. That guy just doesn't even, he's like, all right, then, you know, well, he's either stoned or he was served in Nam, one of the two, or maybe both. Yeah, maybe both. That guy right there was, that's the level of cool you want to be in any situation. Man, but that's the difference. Celebrate America's founding principles of God-given natural rights, liberty, and limited government with Hillsdale College. And thanks to the team at Hillsdale College, you can watch an inspiring portrayal of Thomas Jefferson reflecting on the Declaration of Independence in a letter that he wrote late in his life. Watch the inspiring video on Thomas Jefferson's letter about the Declaration of Independence written on its 50th anniversary. Amidst the far left's rejection of liberty and equality, let's reaffirm these principles as America's source of greatness, a treasure to preserve. Join me in reminding ourselves and our children and our fellow citizens about the blessings of liberty. Since its founding in 1844, Hillsdale College has stayed true to its mission of providing the education necessary to safeguard principles rooted in the Declaration signed on July 4th. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com to view this video and receive a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale as our thanks. Keep it or pass it on. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. And on behalf of Hillsdale College, let us always treasure America's independence.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States. With broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets spread glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that I
Oh, girl, you know Whitney. You know Whitney. Oh, my gosh. Like, what is that? So this chick has, like, won Grammys. Her name is Ingrid Andress. And this was, huh?
Won Grammys?
I think so. Or she Grammy nominated. I don't know. She's like a, Lord. I don't know what the hell she is. It sounds like the manifestation of the sound a dying animal would make. Like, that's what the dinosaur sounded like as the meteor burned them. I don't know if you knew that, but that's what it sounded like. Oh, man, you can't do the anthem like that. We got a whole other second hour coming up. Amber Rose and the RNC. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
That building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point. And so, you know, there's a safety factor that would be considered there, that we wouldn't want to put somebody up on a sloped roof. And so, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from inside.
There's this meme going around that shows Bane from Batman, you know, throwing his arms up like this. It's this meme format, and you see his back, and he's facing off this guy in a pink onesie who's much smaller, and he's got his arms extended. And the Bane, the text over Bane says, the biggest, baddest, highest budget security agency on the planet. And the little man in pink, the words over him say, a slightly sloped roof. I mean, we literally almost descended into chaos because of a slightly sloped roof. Really. That was Kim Cheadle, head of Secret Service, trying to explain why she didn't have the rooftop covered. But I thought that was local law enforcement's area. So she can, even though she says she didn't cover it because it was local law enforcement's area, she can also apparently bar people from getting, I'm confused. And it was the same type of roof that the counter snipers were on, but okay. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are at the top of this second hour, and I'm really shocked at this. What in the world? It's a slightly sloped roof, as you know. There's a safety factor, and so the decision was made to secure the building from the inside. That's what she said. So they didn't get on the roof because it was slightly sloped, and she was afraid someone would slip and fall. But they were on the same type of roof, the counter snipers were, but okay. That's the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard. She's in charge of this stuff because of a slightly sloped roof. That's what she said. Quote, the building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point. And so there's a safety factor. We didn't want to put someone up on a sloped roof. Well, that's it. You know, you can just take over the United States with a slope roof, slightly slope roof. They're actually trying to. So wait, the snipers that were on the slightly slope roof, the counter snipers that on our side, that was okay. But not on that slightly slope roof for some ever whatever reason. It's too dangerous for the snipers, you know, on the roofs with the direct line of sight to President Trump, you know.
The counter sniper's roof looks even more sloped than the actual sloped roof where the, you know, attempted assassination took place.
Yeah.
That's odd.
You think? Just a little odd?
Just a tiny bit.
Just a little bit odd. I'm amazed at the, I mean, I'm not amazed. This is a level of absolute dumbassery that it's embarrassing. And Kane and I were talking about this on break, actually. And again, if you're just joining us, you can listen terrestrially around the country. You can stream the video component of the radio program on Channel 347 DirecTV as well. There's a chat over at Rumble, all kinds of good stuff. We're on X, all of that. I mean, this is just the dumbest thing.
You think it's just incompetence. I believe that it's more than that.
Okay, but my belief that it's just incompetence stems from the fact that I think people in government are the stupidest people on earth.
You're not going to get an argument from me on that.
I don't think they're smart enough to do something like that. You can never underestimate my complete lack of regard for the bureaucratic agencies that act as our overlords. There's no way to overstate how much the loathing, you know?
Oh, I get it.
And how dumb I think they are. How stupid and moronic and probably products of like generational incest they are.
And I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I just want to be clear that I agree with you 100% on that point. Absolutely.
But for me to accept that there's like a conspiratorial angle, I'm not against it. I just don't think any of them are smart enough to do it.
Yeah, because you think it's them that are planning it. It's not them that are planning it. Why do you think some deep state entity would put...
I think deep state are morons, too.
Well, that may be...
I don't have enough fingers on these hands
they're smart
to give
enough
them, so I'm just going to give them all.
You can do that on television.
Thank goodness.
But the deep state, I think, they know. They're incompetent, yeah, but they're smart enough to know to put morons in place of power. So that then eventually if things go wrong and not up to what they, you know, were planning, they have a fall guy. They have a fall guy. And just like this, it looks as though Cheadle is going to become the fall guy. And maybe if this was a
Paula
successful...
Paula Blart, you mean?
Yeah, Paula Blart.
I'm not calling her Kim Cheadle. She's Paula Blart.
But if this was a successful assassination attempt, she would have been the fall person.
I've seen better security at Claire's Boutique in the mall. Y'all remember that? Only the real ones do. Only the real ones do, right? Like the KB Toys with the little dogs in the front. Better security there during
you're
Christmas.
You're not focusing on my point.
I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying. I think they're all dumbasses,
yes.
Including deep state. They're all the products of generational incest. Yes. That's why they think this stuff's going to work. Does that mean to say? Because I really do mean it. I'm not actually joking when I say it. Whenever I hear people go, I'm going to grow up and work in the government. I'm like, you're literally a walking mental abortion. That's what you are. Like, your dream in life is to go up and be on the public teat. Like, you're just like a, you know, at least strippers go out and work for their money. Good grief, you know. Speaking of strippers. Can we talk about I'm so tired. I've just been watching. Everybody argue about this. So Amber Rose spoke at the RNC last night, right? Amber Rose, who is like, she says she's an atheist. She hasn't been a porn star, but she's been a stripper. She was with Kanye, I think, for a while. I don't know. I don't really, you know, I'm not really big on her career. Let's just put it that way, right? I don't know what the hell she does anymore. I don't know. But she spoke at the RNC last night. And I've seen a lot of people up in arms about all of this. Lots of people. And everyone's fighting over it. Some people are saying that it's a great representation to get people who are not traditional Republicans, make it feel as though there's someone who might kind of, you know, give voice to some of the stuff that they're thinking there. You know, I've seen all kinds of stuff. People talking about you got to have a big tent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it. I've seen what everybody's been saying about it. I also understand the concern that people have about the platform of the RNC, which I didn't see anything about guns in there, and that was my big thing. I was like, where are the guns at, RNC? Where's that at? Like, I didn't see that in your damn little booklet platform. But you guys have to realize that I hate everyone. And when I say that I hate everyone, that includes all, like, I hate parties. I hate bureaucrats. I hate party bureaucrats, bureaucrat parties. I don't, you know, whatever. I can. And people are saying this is just, you know, an example of the GOP drifting left. And, you know, she had praised Satanism before, and we've got the audio of it. Of being, let me play this first, because I want to give, this is what some of the people criticizing are citing when they say that they have a problem with her speaking at the RNC, just so you can have like an idea. I want to be fair, and then I'm going to play her soundbite. This is audio soundbite 4.
Yeah, but you're not.
No, I'm a fool. I'm an atheist for sure.
Not a Satanist.
I'm not a Satanist.
No. And there is a distinction.
Satanists are just, they're atheists as well, but they're just more political.
Okay.
They have like a, it's actually a very rational, logical religion. They help a lot of people, a lot of women to get abortions.
I don't agree with any of those. I mean, I think Satanists want to put themselves apart from God, and they act like it's, you know, worship of nature, blah, blah, whatever. Everybody wants to be so edgy. This is what she said last night, audio soundbite 3, when she took the stage at the RNC. Listen.
I'm up here telling you this. I'm no politician and I don't want to be, but I do care about the truth. And the truth is that the media has lied to us about Donald Trump. I know this because for a long time I believed those lies. So I'm here to set the record straight.
So as you can imagine, there are people who are very upset. They're upset over the selection of Vance as Trump's VP. They're upset that I was actually more upset about the Teamster thing. That guy there talking about some big government populist. Like, populism is not a platform and it's not a principle. Populism is a way of delivering a message. You don't have conservatives and populists. That's not a thing. Populism is a way to deliver a message. And conservatives and Republicans are not the same thing. They're two totally entirely different things. And then even with Republicans, you have MAGA Republicans and then just the regular Republicans. So there's all these different breakdowns of this. I'm going to tell you something. There's also the difference between coalitions and parties. Now, my question on this is, it's the RNC. So they're the party's event. And this is the base. This is your most condensed down, distilled down base, right? And I think that some people are confusing coalitions and parties. The right does have to learn how to coalition build if it wants to continue to exist. And it's a weird thing to say when you have a bench of talent multi-rows deep, but the Republican Party has been abysmal in figuring out how to maximize that for its fullest advantage. But never more so than now, conservatives and Republicans are two different things. And we have to learn how to marshal everybody together to be able to assemble a majority. And I think that's what some of this falls under. I think the RNC erred in that if it wanted to give an example of coalition building, they needed to make that clear with certain speakers. Because the people that I have seen who have been the most vocal in criticism about allowing someone who's been pro-abortion and, you know, the literally held slut walks and all that stuff, is they think that that is supposed to be representative of the Republican Party base. And I think it's the RNC's attempt, and I'm not saying I agree with it, I'm just giving you my analysis of it. I think it's the RNC's attempt to coalition build, but they're not clear in their intention on that. And the lack of clarity and intention has now resulted in this finger-pointing, slap-fighting mess that is really bubbling up on social media. I completely understand everybody's criticisms of it. I think it's kind of weird to have somebody if the RNC was going to be like, yeah, no, we had her because we love slut walks now. That's kind of weird, right? Because like on the right, we've made fun of that, right? Or if the RNC is like, yeah, you know, we decided to have her because we're all pro-abortion now. I think a lot of people in the base would justifiably have legitimate grievances about that. If it's about coalition building, that's different. And that's the RNC's problem in not messaging that clearly enough for everyone. You have to be clear with this. I tend to apply Reagan's 80-20 rule. My 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. And I think never more than now, we've really got to apply that going forward. And we're going to talk more about this. Because I used to be one of these holdouts for, you know, political perfection and purism on everything. And I used to argue about this all the time with my late friend, Andrew Breitbart. Before he gave his CPAC 2012 address on Mitt Romney, he extorted me. He's like, you listen to my address here. Because we had just gotten into a huge debate about it on a radio program. And he went out on stage and gave that speech. Perfection isn't strategy. It is a surrender that is staked on fantasy. And I'm going to talk more about that because principles do win, but you also have to be strategic in making and advancing towards those principles. And we're going to talk more about that because this is a problem that the right has to learn how to deal with, and they have to learn how to build coalitions. And that means sometimes you're going to have uncomfortable bedfellows, but that doesn't mean adopting, and I think this is a fake, I think this is a sellout for people who make this argument, and I think it's a progressive emotional blackmail argument that some people make. They act like building a coalition is a sacrifice of principle, and it's not. That's emotional blackmail that the left does, and I don't appreciate it. We're going to talk about that coming up. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Las Vegas, people are cooking eggs on the sidewalk. That's not unusual for Vegas, though, really. I mean, every now and then, they get like these heat sizzles? I don't know what you would call them. Record hot temperatures. They said that the Vegas Strip is... nobody's out on the Vegas Strip because they said it was like 115 degrees one day. Well, it is the desert. So that's not unusual. Do you think it's unusual, Kane?
I think it's pretty hot. I think it's pretty
well, yeah,
hot.
But it's the desert.
I think that's a record breaking, though, 120. 120, anything north of 120 certainly would be breaking records.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, I think so. But it is the desert, you know. I mean, every now and then you get hot periods and you get cool summers.
True.
And Philly International Airport in the middle of July, they had snow reported by Channel 29 Fox. They said that, because you always hear the joke about Christmas in July. Okay, well, don't take it seriously. 94 degrees elsewhere, they said a record daily snowfall was reported at their airport. And it was small hail, which apparently counts as a trace of snow, the National Weather Service says. So it's not like snow. It's just, you know, it's small hail. And they said it's rare, but not unusual. To me, I feel like that's a stretch to say that that's snow. You guys did that for clicks. Stop it. Stop it. Biden is going to be proposing rent control. We'll discuss this coming up. He's proposing eliminating tax breaks for landlords who raise the rent more than 5%. But is Joe Marks here? Is he going to, like, I don't know, maybe reduce taxes on the property owners? Or how about this? And just a thought, maybe you could just reduce taxes overall for struggling families and maybe get a better monetary and economic policy overall, right? Apple's releasing a new operating system for iPhones. Again, it's the iOS, it's 18, iOS 18. It's a beta version of the software that's going to launch along the new iPhones this fall. and it's going to, they're testing features in that before they officially launch. It's not totally open to the public. It's still beta. But they said that people will be able to try it out later this summer ahead of the new phone releases and all of that stuff. Don't look for any rate cuts from the feds until inflation hits 2%. That's what Jerome Powell has said. He said that that central bank is looking for greater confidence that inflation is going to return to the 2% level. We have more to come. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure that you're ready for everything. You don't have to have a disaster to prepare for major emergencies. And as we've seen with Hurricane Beryl, you want to be ready and always have a way to, you know, feed your family and know where your food comes from and without having to worry about crowded stores and power outages and all that stuff. So ReadyWise, this is great, high quality food, U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. And they make it easy. Dana 20 gets you 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. If you would rather have it, not need it, then need it, not have it. And if you wait till an emergency to prepare, it's too late. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, Donald Trump, I think, is, I said from the beginning when I ran in 2020, that he's a real danger to the country, to a democracy.
I feel like we should karaoke some Latifah right here. Yeah. Coming in with a little UNITY for that soundbite. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here with you, bottom of the second hour. He said that in the actual interview where he was trying to tone down the rhetoric and call for some unity, which is why I think that the leftist calls for unity are absolute garbage. Case in point, can we talk about the Tenacious D stuff real quick? So Tenacious D, we played this yesterday. Kyle Gass and Jack Black formed Tenacious D. They were on stage in Australia on Sunday. And Kyle Gass goes out there and he's like, yeah, you know, but what did he say? Like, he was talking about the Trump assassination and he's
don't
like,
miss next time. Yeah,
don't miss next time. Well, then the pushback came. Like, there was, I'm gonna pull this up. There was an Australian lawmaker who was like, you're deported. And they legit like are trying to like now propose they had issued a statement saying the guy was gonna seek a way to have him deported. I mean, they ain't playing with us. They're serious. So then they had the Tenacious D apology, and you had Kyle Gass on Instagram come out and say, quote, "The line I improvised on stage Sunday night in Sydney was highly inappropriate, dangerous, and a terrible mistake. I don't condone violence of any kind in any form against anyone. And what happened was a tragedy, and I'm incredibly sorry for my severe lack of judgment. I profoundly apologize to those I've let down and truly regret any pain I've caused," end quote. Any pain he's caused? Like, a father's dead because of that kind of hatred. Another father was almost dead because of that kind of hatred. If this was a real apology, I feel like Kyle Gass would have admitted it and then maybe would have donated to the victims' families. Don't you think so? I mean, maybe he would have at the very least mentioned it in his apology. So then Jack Black comes out and he issues a statement saying, quote, again on Instagram, "I was blindsided by what was said at the show on Sunday. I would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. After much reflection, I no longer feel it is appropriate to continue the Tenacious D tour, and all future creative plans are on hold. I am grateful to the fans for their support and understanding," end quote. So, I don't think that Jack Black had a problem when just a couple of weeks ago he was at a fundraiser for a guy who has repeatedly called the Republican nominee an existential threat, intimated that people who support that existential threat as a choice for president are somehow culpable in fascism, or they are Nazis, or they're something else. They have weaponized agencies to go after people. I mean, the rhetoric is backed up by actions that are carried out by these corrupt bureaucrats. He had no problem when he was at a fundraiser for this guy who was saying the same type of rhetoric just a couple of weeks ago. So forgive me if I don't take any of this seriously. I mean, forgive me if I just don't think that they're serious with their apologies, because I don't think it is. I mean, those are the rules, by the way. Is it not? Are those not the rules of the left? The rules of the left are, nope, you got to be totally destroyed now. No apologies at all whatsoever. I mean, isn't Kane, what do we say with that? Dems de rules.
Dems are the rules.
Dems de rules every time. They had, I was looking at this. This is Senator Ralph Babette, the United Australia Party senator for Victoria, who came out with the deportation proposal. I mean, the audience roared in acceptance of this. I mean, they thought it was a great thing. If Jack Black thought it was so bad, again, this rhetoric has been ongoing. Like, why now all of a sudden? Oh, because it was on stage? Does that make it different? I mean, why now all of a sudden is it bad to say the stuff that apparently has been fine to say up until this point? Why now? I mean, Kyle Gass, I get why he's rushing to apologize. What the hell does that guy do if he's not in Tenacious D? What does Kyle Gass do if he's not in Tenacious D? Jack Black at least has a career outside of Tenacious D, but is he going to get more movies made with this stuff? I will say this. In my career, I've been very careful not to classify politicians or people who are on the opposing ideological side of me as Nazis or terrorists or quote unquote existential threats. I save those descriptions for actual Hitler butt kissing Nazis and actual, you know, terrorists and actual existential threats like the sweet meteor of death. I reserve that language for those things. I don't diminish the atrocity of those moral failings by assigning the words to describe them to people who merely think differently than I do on policy. And I guess that's what makes me different from people like Kyle Gass. I think that's just so lame to say something like that. Oh, better not, too bad you missed, or don't miss next time. What the hell does that mean? You absolute fat ass. What does that mean? You're on stage. People of both sides of the aisle were entertained by you, and you decide to turn on like half your audience. Not only that, but you decide to contribute to the very problem that we're dealing with. Let me remind everybody, the bullets have only been flying one way. For all the talk about both sides, I mean, how many times do we have to see Democrats try to kill Republicans? A number of them on a ball field? Burning down their damn cities, burning down their businesses, beating people in the street. How many times do we got to see this? This has only been coming one way, guys. And it's only been coming one way because people on the right have restraint. And they have a little bit more sense. And I guess we care a little bit more about our fellow man. Even if you're a dumb fat ass like Kyle Gass and you decide to go out and show your whole albatross to the whole audience like that. I'm so tired of this. And then they go, oh, well, we apologize, dust off hands. Oh, I guess that's that. No, it's not. That's not it. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of that rinse and repeat formula from the left. Says something stupid, offers a disingenuous policy, dust off hands. Okay, back to business. No, I'm done with it. There's a president almost got killed. I'm tired of people thinking that, you know, we're all Nazis just because we disagree with you on taxes. The hell's wrong with you people? Grow up. It's so stupid. We live in an idiocracy, and it's infected every single aspect of life. And this is why I get why some people are worried about where the Republican Party's going with us. Look, I'm going to tell you, with all the talk about the Amber Rose stuff, and I was actually more nervous about the Teamster guy speaking than anything else. I mean, I don't know if you heard some of the stuff he was saying. It seemed a little big government to me, that Sean O'Brien guy. But I think, again, the RNC has a responsibility to be very clear to people if it is doing something that is about building coalitions or if it's something about the party base, because conservatives and Republicans aren't the same thing. Coalitions and parties aren't the same thing. And if the right wants to be able to compete, the right has to build coalitions. And that sometimes means that you're going to be sharing your tent with a bald woman who's got her kids' names tattooed on her face. And by the way, I find Amber Rose's face tattoos less douchebaggy than the goofy armband tats of some of these, like, you know, moral preening, like red pill bras on the right. I gotta be honest with you about it. But do I think that she's representative of the Republican Party? No. I don't. And I don't think that it's wrong to gatekeep for the principles of the Republican Party, because it's the Republican Party. But to build a coalition, that means the Republican Party is going to have to find alliances with people who maybe don't agree with it on every single issue. Again, the Reagan rule, my 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. And if you want to win, if you want to beat the Democrat machine, you have to do that. Now, again, I think it's on fault of the RNC for not saying we need to focus on coalition building. And to that extent, here is Amber Rose. I think that would have been appropriate to do before she came out on stage. That wasn't done. Because then people are thinking, well, this means that she's representative of the Republican Party. And I completely think that that is a justifiable concern that some people have, given that that clarification was not made by the RNC. But at the same time, again, you're going to have to coalition build, guys. You are going to have to coalition build. It is a requirement. And you're also going to have to realize, for the people who are upset with J.D. Vance, you're never going to have complete perfection. You're not going to have perfection on political candidates. You're not going to ever get a complete 100% a candidate that agrees with you. I don't even agree with my husband on 100% of the things, much less wholly agree with a politician on the issue. But look, winners win because they can adapt and they can reconfigure their strategy. That's what you got to realize. And some people insist that accepting anything less than perfection is selling out. I got to be honest with you. That take kind of ticks me off, because that argument itself is a sellout. That argument, what's worse actually about that argument, is it's a progressive style emotional blackmail straw man. And it's an argument that presupposes that adapting your strategy is the same thing as abandoning principle, when the strategy is all about making the principle more attainable. And different means isn't a sacrifice of the end. And it's not an adoption of those means. It's not a change of principle. It's not anything. I mean, you're not going to score a touchdown unless you can move the ball, however incrementally, down the field. And refusing to play until the field is clear, well, that's a surrender. The right's got to learn how to build coalitions. Nobody gets the fairy tale ending that they want, guys, because this is real life. It is real life. It is not a fantasy land. The perfect candidate does not exist. Does not exist. The perfectly run campaign doesn't exist. I don't know if maybe, you know, these perfectly curated social media photo kiosks on Instagram and Facebook make everything think that everything else has got to be just as airbrushed and perfect looking as that, including our politics. And if you don't understand that it can't be, you are going to forever be disappointed. I mean, what is your alternative? What is the alternative? I mean, the people who just want to bitch and moan without offering a single practical solution are, quite bluntly, obstacles into the path of victory. Might be harsh to say, but it's true. The objective is winning, guys, because the alternative, what is the alternative? Allowing Democrats to continue driving this country into hell? That's the alternative. Do you want sky-high taxes? You want $7 tubs of butter? You want runaway inflation? Do you want endless wars? Lawlessness and disorder? I mean, look around. It's not an exaggeration. The choice is yours. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you to think before you do it, though. I mean, it would be a real shame. A real shame if we missed the last off-ramp on the road to Marxism because people were holding out for non-existent perfection. No one is ever going to be good enough, guys. No candidate is ever going to be good enough. No campaign is ever going to be good enough. But maybe, just maybe, they might be useful enough in saving the country from certain destruction. Adapt strategies, be practical, and push forward. Gold Co., golly, the economy's trash. I mean, I could sit here and tell you every single day, same headline, economy's bad, economy's bad, economy's bad. And the border's all, everything's horrible. So here, look, this is what you need to do. Go buy gold and silver. Don't be like these people who sit around and then wait till it gets too bad and then they lose everything they got because they didn't diversify their retirement savings with precious metals. And this is what you can do with Gold Co. You got a free 2024 wealth protection guide to arm you with the facts about precious metals and how it could help you in the face of inflation, exploding national debt, the whole nine yards. And you could possibly be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews, and they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Education first position, and they want you to have the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. No pressure, and they're dedicated to transparency. Visit DanaLikesGold.com, get your free gold kit from Gold Co., and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Good night. All right, so I have to tell you about this one. First off, a Florida man hid out in a closed Walgreens for like 5 hours, hid in the bathroom for 5 hours so he could sneak out and get snacks. I'm not even joking with you. It's New Smyrna Beach, Florida. A man was arrested early Monday morning because he stole snacks and drinks from the Walgreens there. Officers responded to the store because an alarm went off at 3 a.m. and the alarm company said there's a dude inside. The store's been closed since 10 p.m. though. So security footage showed the guy, identified as Christopher Morgan, entering the bathroom at 9:40 p.m. He didn't leave it until 2:42 a.m. He was in the bathroom for 5 hours, and then he went around and had himself some Tostitos, some spinach dip, Reese's, some Ghirardelli chocolate, Dr. Pepper, and he got himself a pack of Newport cigarettes. And then when officers arrived, they could see him like literally getting the smokes and having some snacks and all that. And the security alarm was going off, and they went in, and they asked him if anyone else was inside the building, and he acted confused, like he couldn't be there. And he said he didn't know. I just came here to use the bathroom. That's what he said. So they arrested him on petty theft, resisting an officer without violence, battery on law enforcement officer. He has more than two prior convictions of larceny. So that's some dedication, though. I mean, and he just goes out and gets snacks, man. Just goes and gets some snacks. Let's see. So this Florida man faces two charges because he told his ex to buy him new clothes or he's going to put nudie photos of her online. Golly, he's from Miramar. Keon Ponton, 19, was arrested by Miami police for pressuring his ex-girlfriend to buy him new clothes. And he said he was going to share her private photos on social media if she did not meet his demands. So now he's facing charges of second-degree felony extortion and misdemeanor sexual cyber harassment. Also, who in the hell is sending this 19-year-old nudie photos? Yeah. Like, what is wrong with your judgment? I'm not saying you deserve it, but never do that kind of stuff. Like, what is the matter with you? So, yeah, that's not so good for that guy. A barefoot Florida man wrestled a nuisance gator, which, sidebar, that sounds like, so nuisance gator sounds like a twangy banjo-fueled rockabilly group that only plays on a pontoon in a swamp. Oh, nice. I know, but you got to have the whole description. Otherwise, it's, and they only play Lynyrd Skynyrd covers. It's like a Skynyrd cover band, but only with banjos on a pontoon in the swamp. Nuisance gator. Anyway, so a barefoot Florida man totally wrangled this gator at a Jacksonville fire station. He's a gator trapper named Mike Dragich, which is exactly what a gator trapper's name would sound like. And I guess he lives his life barefoot. I don't know, but a gator was causing trouble. Literally, because when a power company came to check on the water meter, it was apparently in the water somehow. I don't know what was going on, but this guy, he grabbed the gator by the tail and he done wrestled him down and taped his mouth shut. This is the second time this dude's been filmed. The last time he answered the call of a neighborhood they were being harassed by an 8-foot nuisance gator in the middle of the road. And again, barefoot, he wrestled the thing in the middle of the street. So this guy's like barefoot alligator wrestler, right? I'm just saying. We have a whole other third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
It's an open question.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Oh, I've heard from him.
But have you heard from her publicly?
Publicly, I've sat down in a situation room downstairs.
I've heard from him.
Secret Service, the FBI, the national security agencies, the Homeland Security.
He's going to just say words right now, do the C-3PO hands. Oh, damn, I messed up. It's not him, is it? Oh, man. Golly. Yeah, I met him. Well, I can understand why you might think that, but he met Paula Blart. Boop, the Pepsis are safe. Over, the Pepsis are safe. Boop. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you this. So the latest with this, by the way, first off, Biden doesn't even know what genitals the head of Secret Service has. Did you hear? I can't believe this gets dumber. Apparently, so the snipers for the police were literally inside the building that the killer was on when he was firing shots. To reiterate, the barely slope roof that is too dangerous for Secret Service to get on. You know, the people whose job it is to take a bullet for the president, the slope roof was too dangerous. The snipers, police snipers, were inside that same building when that dude began firing.
Did you guys hear shots? Over.
I don't want to like make light of it because, you know, somebody lost their life and a president of the United States almost lost his life. But what? Are you kidding me? This just gets more ridiculous. What in the world?
The Pepsis are safe, guys. The Pepsis are safe. Over.
I can't even deal with it. I just don't even know. This is just wild. Kane, they were inside the building. Guys on the roof, they're like, what's happening? It's like that meme, the video meme, that comedian looking around. What's happening? What is that from? Oh.
Yeah. You want, as Secret Service, you want to secure the high ground. I don't understand why you're in the building.
No, that's too far away. It's outside the perimeter. That literally is the other story that came out. It was outside the Secret Service perimeter, per Cheadle.
What?
The
150
yards? 147 yards was outside of the perimeter.
Outside the perimeter? Oh, come on.
Wow.
That perimeter should be at least 300.
I mean, no one told Lee Harvey Oswald that, oh, wait a minute, I'm outside the perimeter. Guess I better pack it up. I mean, the hell? I'm not even making this up.
So she's saying that they didn't take the shot because the shot was.
Oh, they just didn't bother really with that area because it's beyond the.
Oh, good Lord.
Beyond the perimeter, the 147 yards. What yardage constitutes the perimeter, Paula Blart? What yardage constitutes? I feel like I'm watching like the female Ghostbusters part two.
I gotta tell you, since Saturday, the more that I find out about this incident, the worse it gets. Like, way worse.
Oh yeah.
What the hell?
I'm inching towards saying some really politically incorrect things here because it just keeps getting worse, guys. It keeps getting worse. Really does. I can't even Golly. I does she know what roofs are? What a roof is?
You're just going to chalk this up to just incompetence, though, honestly? This is just
have you seen her?
Yeah, I have. She's totally
now. Dumb. I'm not saying the people who employ, who run, who give her orders are maybe.
No, I'm
that sorry. Woman is dumb as a box of tampons. That so woman right. is dumb.
And don't get me wrong. I'm saying there is incompetence.
That's why the lady is a tramp. Tony wrote a song.
I'm saying there is incompetence, but I'm saying there's also more than that.
Oh, God, this put a just, hand over my mouth you right can't now. Just,
write all of this God, off as just incompetence.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't possibly be that only.
Oh, man. You know, the news can't be hitting me with these headlines like this when we're live on air, Kane. Because it's, oh. I'm telling you. Yeah, so they were, the snipers were inside the building as the guy was opening fire, number one. And then, yeah. And then now it's. By the way, apparently Jill Biden's office was the one that was pushing Kim Cheadle as the Secret Service director. From, I think this is Axios. The political, says Biden aides believe those closest to the president created a cocoon around him. Blah, blah, blah. They particularly focus on Deputy Chief of Staff Annie Tomasini, the First Lady's top, also the First Lady's top advisor, Anthony Bernal, and longtime aide Ashley Williams, who joined the Deputy Chiefs of Staff, et cetera, et cetera. So, don't you think that maybe we should also ask Joe Biden, what are you doing with this? Why does that, we didn't elect that broad. We didn't elect her. She wasn't elected. Why is she making, you know, do what first ladies do. Put up the Christmas decorations and all. Don't tell me I'm sexist because I'll slap people. But that's what you're, you know, your support. You support the president and you do goodwill gestures and community stuff. That's what you do. That's what you do. You don't sit here, well, I think that this person should run the Secret Service because I really like Pepsi. Not a single Pepsi can was shot under Kim Cheadle. Why is this not something that a listener brings up a good point? Why is this an appointment that isn't confirmed by the Senate? Out of curiosity. I'm just saying. Good
That's
night.
That's actually a really good question.
Why? Yeah, why is that?
The director of Secret Service? You're absolutely right. Should be a confirmation of some sort congressionally.
So we've got the slope roof. It was sloped. You know, that is, and she said in her interview that that was a security risk for Secret Service agents. You know, the people whose job is to maybe potentially take a bullet for the president of the United States. The sloped roof was greater than a bullet. I mean, heaven forbid they break their ankle falling off a sloped roof. But if they get shot. And then it was out of the perimeter, the Secret Service security perimeter. I kind of also feel like the Secret Service saying that is a way to try to throw local law enforcement under the bus. Because didn't local law enforcement in a previous statement, wasn't it like you have Secret Service that has X amount of yardage and then local law enforcement takes over from there? Right. So this seems like they're trying to shove that stupidly on local law enforcement, which, by the way, we kind of know that's bunk because when Secret Service comes in, they take over that premises.
I do lean on local law enforcement when there is a shortage of Secret Service because they had been requesting more funding and mm-hmm. more Secret Service for Trump as he's out campaigning, especially with the giant glowing neon target on his back because of how the media and the left talks about him. So the fact that they were denying him extra protection during this time and then this happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk more about this coming up with Andrew Branca, who is a 2A attorney. We're going to talk because we're a little curious as to what protocol or laws were preventing that guy from maybe taking the shot. It's just wild to me. This news just came in. So Tenacious D's Kyle Gass, we were talking about this last hour, was just dropped by his talent agency. So his tour suspended and his talent agency dropped him. And someone goes, well, where's the criminal investigation? Okay, don't go so hard on this guy that I got to defend it. Oh, please don't do that. I don't want to defend this giant meat sack. I don't. Really don't. I mean, you know, things have consequences. I just think it's all, I think this stuff is performative. I think it's all performative. I think the tour suspension is performative. I mean, Jack Black was like campaigning with Joe Biden, knowing full well that he was calling people right and left existential threats just based on political disagreements. So this is like different somehow. It's just not inconsistent, and it seems disingenuous to me. I can't. It's just goofy. It's goofy. But so he's been dropped by his talent agency. Did you guys see Mark Hamill's stupid? I really don't want to say on radio or the simulcast what I said on Twitter, but I called him a name. And then my dear friend David Limbaugh was like, the pure innocent David Limbaugh, I don't even know what that means. What does that word mean? I'm like, no, what have I done? Because I didn't want him to look it up. But Mark Hamill was making fun of the bandage on Trump's ear, you know, because Trump was shot by a leftist. And Mark Hamill goes, when Trump went out to the RNC last night, and he didn't speak, he's not expected to speak till Thursday, but he showed up, you know, and he was sitting there and watching some of the RNC last night, some of the convention. And when he walked in, he had this gauze, like this bandage on his ear, because when you look at the images of when he was shot, it looks like his ear was kind of torn in half. Yeah, it's missing a piece. Yeah, so I don't know how you would bandage that other than this, you know, because I'm sure it has stitches. And you got to protect that. So anyway, Mark Hamill is making fun of the bandage. And he tweeted, quote, first appearance of ludicrously oversized ear bandage, apparently not needed prior to tonight, which he didn't even see Trump prior to tonight. So I don't know what he's talking about. Nobody did. I asked him why he was such a bad man.
Is that what you said?
In a way.
Is that how you put it?
In a way.
Is that the phrasing you used?
No.
Are those the words?
But that's really ultimately, Kane, if you distill it down, that's what I said.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I don't know if I can say it on air.
Well, it's out there on Twitter, right?
Can I say it on air?
I don't really know. Can I call Brendan Carr real quick?
No, but we can ask Steve and put it all on him, maybe. Juan just choked. Steve just had a stroke.
Don't put that on Steve.
Steve doesn't want Mike Paradiso running into the office all nervous and stuff.
Because that's what will happen.
I mean, nervouser, because he's always nervous.
Yeah, that's what will happen.
Yeah, that's totally what will happen. And Steve will have to lock the door and hide and cry in a corner. We don't want that to happen.
And then Pam and HR gets involved.
And it becomes like a whole thing.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, nobody wants that. It's like a whole, like, it's a whole ordeal. So, yeah, you know, I'm just, I don't know. I don't know why he felt the need to say this. He's making fun of the bandage. I don't know. Mark, what do you do when your ears split open by a bullet? What do you do? You absolute dump truck. What do you do? Good night. These people don't want unity. They don't feel bad for any of this. They're joking about this stuff. There's a dude who lost his life, a family that doesn't have a dad. And these gas bags are out there. Better not miss next time. Making fun of all of this. What the hell's wrong with you people? I thought they were supposed to be like the compassionate left. I don't know where they got that from. Where did they get the whole bleeding heart thing? Bleeding heart liberal. Where did that even come from? I've never seen any actual genuine concern from anybody on the left on most anything. I don't know what these people are made of. Shame on them. It's just so stupid. Coming up, we're going to talk with Andrew Branca on a couple of things. But I'm really curious about the policies, too, of, you know, the whole why couldn't that guy take the shot? And also, one of the things buried was that case involving Alec Baldwin, right? The Alec Baldwin Rust trial, because the state hid evidence. And that was an open and shut case. And it was dismissed. They can't retry it because of double jeopardy. So he's like free to walk. He killed a chick. Free to walk. He's killed as many people as the Trump killer. Now, look at that. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of encouraging audible force, sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds, that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
And the news keeps coming. So apparently, Secret Service has ramped up security after receiving intel of an Iranian plot to assassinate Trump. This coming from CNN. This just in from CNN. So apparently, this is something that they said that's no known connection to the shooting, the attempted assassination that took place on Saturday. But they said that now they're ramping up security because they received intelligence of this Iranian plot from U.S. authorities. They said that it was a development that led to increasing security. Multiple people briefed told CNN the existence of the intelligence threat has now raised new questions about those security lapses. So this is something that we're going to follow as well. That's, again, just in. Good night. So Ingrid Andress, the chick who's totally screwed up, sang one of the worst anthems I've ever heard, worst renditions I've ever heard of the anthem at the home run derby, now says she was drunk and she's going to rehab. Drunk and just sucks, or just, like, I don't know. There's a question there. Anyway, suspected drug smuggling tunnel found in Tijuana is so long, authorities don't even have enough oxygen to reach the other end, according to the LA Times. Wow. It was found last week after an anonymous tip. Personnel needs oxygen tanks to figure out where it ends. That's wild. Five people were rushed to the hospital after a car plunged into a hot acidic geyser in Yellowstone National Park. Hot acidic geyser. That's what I think of when I think of Kyle Gass's mouth. Hot acidic geyser. I'm just saying, an axe-wielding... Well, we'd had this yesterday. A man was apparently injured himself on a broken window, killed himself in Butte, Montana. That, on a broken window. 4:30 in the morning, his body was found, according to law enforcement. He got a serious injury to his arm. He broke a window at his residence, and apparently he bled out. And they think alcohol may have contributed to the fatality in that. And also, it's meteor season. The best times to watch are in August, apparently. No word on the sweet meteor of death. Up next, Aunt Andrew Branca joins us. According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor-prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat, I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is most responsible for this happening?
What I would say is that the Secret Service is responsible for the protection of the former president.
So the buck stops with you?
The buck stops with me. I am the director of the Secret Service. It was unacceptable, and it's something that shouldn't happen again.
The president and Homeland Security Secretary said today they had 100% confidence in you. But there are some members of Congress calling on you to resign.
I appreciate the secretary's comments, and we're going to continue to be transparent and communicate with people.
Do you plan to stay on? Absolutely.
I do plan to stay on.
Are you, though? I mean, to me, I got questions, especially when I see like stuff like this. Like, there's a piece that just came out from Washington Post where they're citing that SWAT teams from the jurisdiction of Butler County, according to the DA there, Richard Goldinger, was saying that Secret Service was in charge. It was their responsibility. It's their job. And he says they're trying to blame local law enforcement for this, and they're passing the blame. It's, I mean, no matter how you look at it, it is an absolute mess. And then, you know, why was there hesitation? I have so many questions on this. And then obviously we have the situation with Alec Baldwin, which is getting buried with all of this. Joining us now via Skype, a legal mind that I very much respect. You can find him on X at Law Self-Defense. Andrew Branca, who is an attorney. He is an author of The Law of Self-Defense. And his pronouns are U.S. Constitution. He joins us now via Skype. Good to see you, my friend. I appreciate you joining us on this. I want to get kind of your just overall thought on the lapse and of diligence. And apparently there is, I don't know how we can even approach accountability, because no one wants to really seem to take actual responsibility for this, because, you know, you have Cheadle saying this, but then it's like all these leaks keep pushing it to local law enforcement.
I mean, of course, it's nothing new, right? I know you're too young to remember this, but I can remember when Janet Reno accepted full responsibility for Waco, burning men, women, and children to the ground, but of course kept her job, right? They all say the buck stops with me, but nothing's going to happen. Nothing will change. I won't be held accountable in any meaningful way. It's the same old story with these bureaucratic hacks.
Yeah, very much so. Where was the, I mean, because there's a lot of discussion today about sloped roofs. I'm sure you've heard this. Cheadle was saying in this interview with ABC that, well, you know, we did want to put Secret Service up there because the roof was slightly sloped, which seemed to be like the same kind of slight slope that the counter snipers were on already. I didn't realize that slightly sloped rooftops, Andrew, were more of a risk than taking a bullet for the president.
It's insane. And of course, that's the balancing they're trying to do now, because they completely dropped the ball on every level. The sloped roof, the lack of response, the minutes that they knew somebody was up on that roof, the response of the Secret Service afterwards. You saw the footage, I'm sure, of them putting Trump into the SUV, and those female Secret Service agents that she didn't know how to holster her gun. She was trying to holster her gun into her badge. It was ridiculous.
It was an absolute mess. And then, of course, the stories about how apparently the building that the killer climbed on top of was the staging area for, I guess, local law enforcement tactical or tactical response. And then there were police snipers inside of that building. So, I mean, where does the allowance come in here? They hear something. Where are those shots coming from? You know, the counter snipers see it. At what point do they see that's a threat? We're going to take it out. Do they got to run it up the flagpole, or do they got to wait till the guy fires?
It's so insane that if this were a movie script, no one would believe it. It would have to be a farce of a movie, right?
Yeah, it would be. So what is the legal protocol for that? I mean, obviously I'm not an attorney. You are. I don't know if they have to go and call it like, we got a threat up here, can I take the shot? Or if they have the discretion to do that. I would think, you know, you trust them to be able to be in these positions. And that's sort of like a consent to exercising that discretion if they see that threat by nature of them being in those positions. How does that work?
Well, we need to distinguish between the law, what the law allows, and whatever their policy may be. Their policies could be completely inane. But if what matters is the life of the president and the president be elected, the law allows for them to use deadly force in defense of the president or any other innocent person the moment they reasonably perceive an imminent deadly force threat to that innocent person. That means they don't have to wait for a shot to be fired by the bad guy first. That means they don't have to be certain he's a bad guy. They could be wrong. It just has to be reasonably perceived as a deadly force threat. And we've seen the photos of this guy on the roof. He does not look like a tactical police officer. Long hair, stringy, AR on a rooftop by a president. I'm sorry, even if it turns out later, if you shot him and it turns out he was just some innocent person, he looks like someone who's about to take a shot at the president of the United States.
Yeah.
You're allowed to use deadly defensive force instantly. You don't have to call anybody. You don't have to check. You don't have to deconflict. You don't have to worry about the slope of the roof. You just take that shot.
The local law enforcement officer that apparently climbed up and looked up at the guy until the killer turned around and pointed his rifle at him. And then he ducked back down. I would like to think that if I were in that situation, I would have fired at him. But then that local, you know, that local cop, considering what police have been going through, I mean, I guess I can understand some of the hesitancy there.
Yeah. So what if it turns out to be, you know, some kid from the community who's not maybe mentally all together and just climbs up on the roof, something he does all the time. And maybe this cop doesn't know that, right? He's not familiar with the neighborhood, whatever the case may be. And it turns out to be an awful shooting. Lawful, but awful shooting, right? Tragic, didn't actually need to happen. But I'm sorry, those are the calls we pay police officers and Secret Service to make.
That's a great point. And when they say things like, well, you know, that rooftop that was 147 yards away from where the president, the former president was positioned, that's out of our perimeter. That makes me not have any faith in them making those calls, Andrew. I have no faith in them.
It's nonsense. So if any normal person, a bystander in that crowd had been armed, and I'm not saying people at a presidential speech should be armed, but I'm saying if they had been armed for whatever reason, they would have been privileged to shoot that gunman without having to worry about a perimeter, without having to call anybody for permission, because any of us can use deadly defensive force to protect an innocent person from a deadly force threat.
That's a really good point because, and we're talking with Andrew Branca, a law self-defense on X. That's a really good point because there were something like 50 some odd bystanders who saw this guy. They watched him climb up in the roof and they could tell that it wasn't right. And then that's when they started yelling at law enforcement. So ultimately, if they had perceived that guy as, you know, as threatening as they clearly did, and if they would have shot at him, they would have been in the clear.
Yeah, well, they would have been within, they would have been legally justified in doing that. What the criminal justice system decides to do, put you to the test.
Right.
That's a whole other question, right? We see wrongful prosecutions, we see Rittenhouse, we see. So you're taking a legal risk there, but you're within the legal boundaries for the use of defensive force.
That's very interesting because, and I like that you bring up, you know, the kind of the punitive prosecution, like these political witch hunts that take place because, you know, people like stop and check themselves like, ooh, do I really, they're like weighing out what's the consequence of me doing this, even if I'm completely justified in doing so. I mean, they really are trying to make people afraid of defense.
They are. They use the process as the punishment. Even if you're so clearly within the legal limits that no rational jury could ever convict you, they do what they did to George Zimmerman or Kyle Rittenhouse, and they make you spend hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in a legal defense. And there's always a risk of conviction, no matter how innocent you are. There's noise in the system. Innocent people get convicted. It doesn't mean it's just, but it means it's something that could happen. And this is something people do need to think about when they're contemplating using force.
Unless you're Alec Baldwin, you know, which brings me to that whole story. Now, I understand that case. The state withheld evidence, which... to me, and obviously you're the legal expert here, to me it kind of seemed like an open and shut involuntary manslaughter case. Like
it was.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was that, but the state withheld evidence and then it's dismissed. And I guess what, double jeopardy is applicable here and he can't be retried, or is there a civil component?
Well, I mean, in theory, the dismissal was a ruling of law by the judge. So it's subject to appeal. So it's not double jeopardy in the sense that it's absolutely over. I don't expect it to be appealed though.
Really?
I expect as a practical matter, it's over. What I actually don't understand this ruling by this judge. So everyone reacts reflectively to, oh, they hid evidence, Brady evidence. And I'm a criminal defense attorney, so Brady's very important to me. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of this. But properly understood, Brady should only apply to evidence that could make a difference in the case, not to irrelevant evidence or immaterial evidence. And to me, what Baldwin was charged with was his personal handling of a gun. He took what he knew to be a real gun, capable of firing real bullets. He says that. He pointed it directly at Helena Hutchins. No doubt about that. The bullet hit her directly. He cocked the hammer. He says that. And he pressed the trigger. Now, he denies he presses the trigger, but all the other evidence is consistent with the trigger being pressed. The source of the ammo is irrelevant to that claim of involuntary manslaughter. Imagine if he had killed Helena Hutchins, not with a gun, but with a car. He got, I'm making this up as a hypothetical, but he got drunk. He was driving drunk on the set and he ran over and killed Helena Hutchins. And he got charged with involuntary manslaughter for running her over. Would we care where the gasoline in the car came from? It doesn't matter. It's immaterial to the criminal charge. So even if you believe the state hid the evidence, and I think there's waffle room there, but even if you believe that, so what? The source of the ammo can't possibly change the legal outcome in this case because Neither the criminal charge nor any of the legal defenses are based on where the ammo came from. It doesn't matter. If the ammo had come from a sporting goods store,
yeah,
what difference would it make?
That's a really great point, too. We're talking with Andrew Branca, Law Self-Defense on X. You can find him, attorneylawofselfdefense.com, too, is the website. Some were saying, Andrew, that the way what you were just discussing, that it seemed to them to be sort of orchestrated as a way to let him off the hook. Like, it was such a weird reasoning and like a clumsy move by the state. I mean, do you put any like serious weight to accusations like that with us?
You know, I don't do mind reading, so I don't know what was going through people's heads. I think what might have happened here, or one real possibility, because I don't think Kerry Morrissey, the special prosecutor here, was evilly motivated.
Right.
I really don't. But people have to remember, she's never been a prosecutor before Hannigan Perez. She was a career criminal defense attorney. She just got appointed as a special prosecutor. So she's never had police working for her. She's never had that kind of administrative oversight. She's never been responsible for making sure she adhered to the Brady requirements for sharing evidence with the defense. She was always the recipient of evidence from the state, never the provider of evidence. And I think there might have been, incompetence is probably too strong a word, but unfamiliarity with the prosecutor's role, given that she's really never had it before. So she may have dropped the ball there in an administrative sense. So I don't attribute malice to her or really a conspiracy theory here, but again, my bottom line is no one's ever been able to explain to me why the source of the ammo would matter to this charge of involuntary manslaughter. I don't get it. And all I hear people say is Brady material, Brady material. Well, Brady's important. If this could have made a difference, absolutely, Brady material. I don't see how it could have.
That's a really good point, too, because it is. I mean, it's the issue isn't where he got the ammo. It's how he was handling the firearm, which is right. A completely separate issue. It's sad. So, and as you said, it looks like it's not going to get appealed. So ultimately for him, he's like free to go.
I think so. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's privilege right there. Privilege that, yeah, other people aren't afforded. Good heavens. Andrew Branca at Law Self-Defense on X. And you can find his website, Law of Self-Defense. I suggest you get his book. Andrew, always appreciate your perspective.
Hey, glad to be here.
Of course. Thank you, my friend. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
我が心と行動に一点の曇りなし。
Trump has a JoJo stand. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Oh my gosh, I just realized that they used Jotaro's stand-up music. Oh my gosh, I just heard it. That was so great. So Trump has... If you haven't watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, my kids got me hooked on that when I was when we were all locked down, and it's a good one to start with, I think, for anime, right? Or maybe like Spy X Family or something.
Yeah, there's several good
to start with. But he's got a the stand is like your superpower manifest into like an almost separate entity that comes out during times of duress, like when you're under threat. And that's what that is. And so he came out and caught the bullet. And he was like red, white, and blue. That was really cool. So I thought, I saw that last night. I was like, that's really cool. By the way, can we talk about this guy real quick? This was funny. This was he was the guy giving the blessing to the RNC, and he did a Trump impression. Listen. 31. There we are.
It's a great pleasure to be here. Great pleasure to see President Donald Trump safe. And if I may, before the benediction, give you this promise. You're going to be so blessed. You're going to be tired of being blessed. I guarantee it.
I've never seen Trump show so much teeth in a smile before. Because normally he does like them.
His smile is huge.
Yeah, his smile was huge. I was actually, he looked, sometimes, you know, things like near-death experiences, which is exactly what he had, really affects people. And I think that, you know, how that turns out here, I don't know. It's, if his head had been turned, golly, slightly the other direction, it would be a different story. And y'all know that. Remember, I'm just saying, you know, we're love or hate him. People, the equipped aren't called. They are equipped. Just saying. All right. Today in Stupidity Canyon.
All right. It gives me no pleasure again to make.
Yes, it
President
does. Why
Biden
do you say that? You love that.
The subject of our Today in Stupidity.
Just like you think old people aren't innocent.
He's cut 13. Not all old people are innocent.
Oh, sure, okay.
This guy isn't. Listen to this.
I didn't plan on running because when I, in 2020.
Yeah.
When Barack asked me to be vice president.
What?
I joined him, which is a great honor.
Okay.
And
because in 2020, I remember Barack Obama being 4 years beyond the end of his second term.
He wasn't the president then? What's that about? I don't know. Biden doesn't even know. He doesn't know where he is. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you go and sign up at Substack. Chapter and Verse is the newsletter. All kinds of good stuff comes out there. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.